Welcome to the Builders of Authority podcast, a show committed to helping you build authority for your brand. In the realm of business and personal branding, authority stands as a cornerstone. Authority isn't built overnight, it's built over time. So join us as we build something remarkable together. And now, here's your host, Adam McChesney.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the newly rebranded Builders of Authority podcast. Today, we have another episode in person with someone I've been following since 2015, 2016. We officially, I think, first just met today, but we've had other run-ins and run-ins at his radio show, events at Hot Shots. We're not going to dive into that. Yeah, my wife asked me not to.
I was briefed in advance of this program.
Good times, though. Good times. But back when I was in medical device sales, I was driving around and traveling a lot, so I needed to find something to listen to on the radio. After a friend of mine recommended to listen to his show, TMA, or The Morning After, I became hooked, or as the show refers to, as a lemming. Over the past 7 years, I've listened to the show and seen how an incredible aspect of what they've built from a following and from online stuff to just listeners, and not only the team that he's built, but what they've been doing with other businesses as well. Really excited to dive into the brand and what I believe that they've done is so unique in the radio business. They've done a great job of pivoting and finding new ways to connect with their audience. I was listening on the app earlier today, which is incredible. He's created other impressive ventures as well, which I'm excited to dive into. My guest today is Tim McKernan. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. I'm excited to talk it over with you, man. I'm going to ask you questions here now that I'm hearing what you're doing.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think I need to hire you. That's what I think I've decided.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, thank you so much for having me in. Yeah. And congratulations on what you've built as well.
I appreciate that. It's came a long way. If I look at like my life from when I started listening to TMA to now, making about $30,000 a year to doing what we're doing in our businesses now, it's been a journey. But I know a little bit about your story just from obviously listening to the show. But tell the listeners kind of like how you got started with TMA and some of the other ventures. I think it's just kind of bring everything full circle.
Sure. Well, I grew up in St. Louis, South St. Louis, South City. And had a goal of playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. Didn't work out. Once I got cut from the freshman team, that's usually a tell that it's not going to work out. And then when you get cut as a junior and a senior, then it really caps it off that, hey, this isn't going to happen. So I knew I wanted to stay involved in the Cardinals somehow, and so then I wanted to become a broadcaster and wanted to be a Cardinal play-by-play guy, just like another million people. And somehow I went to Missouri Journalism School at the University of Missouri, thinking that that was for broadcasting, like play-by-play. Mm-hmm. But as it turns out, it's more for like what you see on local news, anchoring and that kind of stuff. And I had no interest in that stuff, but that's what I wound up doing. And I was lucky enough to get hired at KMOV in St. Louis when I was 23. So I was young to be hired at that time. I think now they hire people at a younger age, but that was 2000. And then in the course of that, I started doing radio. I got asked to do radio at KFNS. And eventually started working with Frank Cusimano about a year in, who's been in St. Louis in media, God, man, I don't know, like 30-plus years at this point. Mm-hmm. And when Frank would be on vacation, Martin Kilcoyne, who is on Channel 2, mm-hmm. KTVI, Fox 2, and Jim Hayes of Bally Sports Midwest, we would fill in, and we would do a totally different show than what Frank did. And his audience, which I think trended a little older, hated what we did. But I liked that because I didn't really want them anyway. Yeah. And they would go, well, Frank's show is the press box. Your show is the sandbox. And I'm like, ooh, that isn't bad. That actually is creative coming from you people, all due respect.
Yeah.
And the people who were buying KFNS at the time was a group from Atlanta. And they're like, we want to take you three when you fill in for Frank in middays. And we want to make you our morning drive show. And that became the Morning Grind in 2004. And 20 years later, we're still doing it. It's now called The Morning After or TMA. Take your pick. And it's a nonsense show. I guess it gets called a sports show or whatever. You gotta want to listen to it because it's not just on mainstream radio. But I kind of like that because it's not really a radio show. Mm-hmm. People watch on YouTube. They'll listen on the app, as you made reference to, and they go back and podcast it. And the loyalty of the audience is what makes it work because then they're loyal to our advertisers, which then gives our advertisers a return on investment. So that's the business side of the show. The fact that we get to show up for 3 hours and just BS and laugh and really act like complete asses and make a living is glorious. I couldn't ask for much more.
Yeah. I think what you said about the loyalty is like, I'm as a marketing and branding person, I'm like, that is just fantastic. Like, it is super unique, not even just in the, which I'm sure it's unique for the radio business, but it's like unique just across all aspects, is like people before they go make buying decisions, they're like, hey, to the fan page, is there a sponsor that does, like, yeah, they are so adamant about doing that, which is so unique. Like, when did that start? Or is that kind of like always been around? It's just obviously a lot more noticeable now with social media.
That's a great question. My dad was a general sales manager. So one of the running, there's many running jokes on the show, all essentially insults of at least one or multiple members of the show. In this case, the one that goes toward me is I only have my job because of my dad. And my dad was a general sales manager. And I, when you're on air, initially anyway, you think that you are superior just because you're on air. And then as you go along in your career, if you do stay in the industry, you realize that what really matters, as you certainly are discovering with what you're doing, is what matters is sales. Mm-hmm. And without the sales team and a great sales staff, you don't have a show. You can think you're great and everybody can tell you you're great, but if you don't have a sales staff, you're doomed. And so as time went on, I began to appreciate the sales team. And then I began operating the station out of necessity. The station at which we worked, which was 1380 ESPN, said, we can't afford to pay you guys anymore, but we love you. If you want to take on the expenses, and that was substantial, mm-hmm. certainly at the time, it would even be now, you can have the inventory. If you make money, great, you get to keep it. If you lose money, too bad. I mean, it's essentially like starting up a business.
Yeah.
And so we did that in 2009, and I conveyed to the audience very directly, but I don't know why hide it. This is the business. You know, you got to get into the end zone to score touchdowns, so why not talk about it? That if you love the show, support the sponsors, because that's why we exist. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on now for, I guess, about 15 years. The show's been on for 20 years, and to the audience's credit, their passion for the show, they display it by making sure that they go out of their way to do business with our advertisers, and therefore our advertisers get return on investment from spending dollars by sponsoring the show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense. It's I think I've seen the evolution, obviously, of when it's just been like, I don't know the previous years of it, but it's really impressive. And what you guys have done, I think, in the radio business, you talked about like the app and like not being the typical radio show anymore. What would you like attest that to? Is it more so like your business savviness or like understanding what was coming in the radio industry of like the pitfalls potentially of just like being there that you guys have, because I feel like you guys have been very innovative, I guess would be.
I appreciate that. I don't think it was innovative out of being creative. I think it was innovative out of necessity.
Okay.
And there's a difference. Like in talking with you, I think you're innovative out of creativity. Mm-hmm. Ours was innovative out of necessity and or out of my essentially truly career PTSD from so many different incidents of either being fired, and I guess not really fired, but like demoted starting back in my, not even demoted, like relegated in my first television job in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was only there for 8 months before getting the job at KMOV that came out of nowhere, that once you have something like that happen, and then at KMOV, I won Best Sportscaster Emmy, Best Sports Reporter Emmy, and that's not said by any means as a brag, because it just doesn't matter, truly. But because I won those things, my contract was up in a few months, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to get, like, you know, some monster raise. And then I'm probably 25, and I'm sitting across from the GM, who had been the GM there since 1980. This is 2003. And he shows me the offer, and it's like, I don't even know. I don't know if it was like a 2% raise. And I go, but I won an Edward R. Murrow Award and the two Emmys for the Midwest. And he goes, this is what we can do. And I was like, oh boy, I better figure out how to make myself relevant to create leverage. Otherwise, what he said without saying it, by saying, this is what we can do, was you can leave and I'm not going to lose a second of sleep. Mm-hmm. And I recall one of my inspirations, without question, quite transparent about it, is Howard Stern. And I remember when he had, I guess he was holding like a press conference in his studio, and this is probably back in the 90s. And it was a bunch of like local New York area and, you know, local television reporters. And he goes, look at all of you. You all think you're stars, but you're all replaceable. and you don't think you're replaceable, but every one of you is replaceable, unless you actually have an impact on your station's bottom line, they'll replace you and bring in somebody for less money, and that's how they'll make money off of you. And so help me, it's been probably 25 years since I've seen that, but that is the truth. And so therefore, we're all numbers, and I don't, and I'm not offended by that. That's business. We're all numbers in the payroll, and either we are black numbers or red numbers. Because of paying us, are they making money? Therefore, we're black numbers. Or because they're paying us, they're actually upside down in the expense. We're red numbers. You want to be a black number, and you want to be a big number that delivers a margin for your parent company, whatever industry you're in. And once I was on the other side of the desk and we were operating inside STL, was operating the show, you start to realize the importance of making sure that you convey to your the people working with you, but also the audience, that this is the metric. If we were talking about the Cardinals or the Blues, we would cite home runs or ERA or goals scored or whatever metric you'd want to cite to determine how somebody performs. Well, in our business, it's dollars. Just like most businesses, it's dollars. But for whatever reason, oftentimes the subjective as to, oh, I like this person or I can relate to this person replaces that which really matters, which is the objective. And in our business, the objective is dollars. If I'm spending $1,000 on this person and I'm only bringing in $200 because of that expense, well, then it's a bad deal. And I don't really care how many people, quote, like them. If you like them, spend money on them. And if they're good, they're going to deliver a return for the advertisers. Otherwise, they're not good by the objective definition of good, and it's dollars. And that might sound harsh because people may view it as like a luxury experience and a leisure experience of listening to a show. But the that is the reality of it. And the only way I learned it is because I had to start operating our show on the other side of the desk. If I would have been an on-air talent, only an on-air talent for my entire career, I'd probably be oblivious to this. But this is what matters. And in reality, it's the only thing that matters. So if I can find people who I know are going to deliver black numbers for me, and they're not going to cause problems behind the scenes, that's an important intangible. But assuming that they're not... then I want them involved, you know, because that's what you want. But there aren't a lot of people who actually do that. You might have people who, like, you know, might, you know, tell you how great you are on social media or something like that. But somebody who actually can deliver a return on investment in broadcast, podcast, in his 2024, as you and I sit here, those are few and far between.
Well, I think a lot of people look at it as just a radio show as well. They don't actually look at it as a business. And so,
I understand. I don't fault them for that. Yeah. Kind of like when people complain about the Cardinals, I'm like, yeah, but they have a television situation, which impacts how they're going to spend. And just because you have $1 billion doesn't mean you want to take a $200 million loss, you know? So I don't get angry at that stuff. In a way, man, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's kind of made me in like a sociopathic way on viewing things, because I know there's another side of it that involves dollars. But if I would love to publicize each show's, each talent's, because it would just, like, there, any questions, I'm available. But once you see it, you'd go, oh, well, now I get it. If you bring in money in our profitable expenditure, by that I mean we're spending this, but you're bringing in more in revenue, and you don't cause BS behind the scenes, let's work together. And it's that simple. It's really not all that confusing. But again, I think people view it through, oh, this person, you know, they're popular, or, you know, I like them. That's great. But you may like them. I like plenty of people who are obscure, but I also know they're not necessarily going to bring in mainstream dollars. And so therefore it would be a bad business venture. And I think maybe that can be a detachment in some capacity. But I would rather be transparent with our audience and explain how it works, as opposed to having it be like secretive, because it's really simple. It's very basic math. Is this number bigger than that number? If so, win. If this number is smaller than that number, loss. And that's it. And it's just like any other business, but people look at radio or podcasting perhaps through a different lens because it's a leisure activity.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the things that has allowed you guys to not only be successful, but the length and success, right? Like, I still remember, and that's what I respected a lot about you, because I've always operated from like that business mindset, even when I was working for somebody else, because I came up in a family of entrepreneurs. But to the normal person, they're probably, again, just looking at it as the radio show. But you've been like, anytime somebody's left or there's been a big question, you're just like, yeah, we're going to talk about this today. And like, and I think that goes a long way because people are like expecting a lot of people to just like hide behind whatever wall they want to hide behind.
Yeah, I think it's important to, I mean, the audience, and certainly, and in particular with the TMA audience, now that we're at Hubbard Radio, which owns 101 ESPN and 105.7 The Point and KC95 and 106.5 The Arch 92.3, my company owns TMA Inside STL. We license it to Hubbard for them to sell. And ideally, they make a bunch of money off of it. They pay our salaries. So it's a different arrangement in that capacity. I suppose it would be comparable for people who are familiar with Pat McAfee's show. Yeah. He licensed it to ESPN. Yeah. I'm just not making $30 million a year like he is. But the audience makes the show possible. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you have an obligation, in my opinion, to be as transparent and as available to the audience as possible. And in most cases, the people at Hubbard, two things have stood out to me since we started there. Now we're 25 months into it, as you and I are talking, Adam. And that is, number one, plenty of people in that building had no idea about the show, or maybe they had heard about it before we got there. But we had been on, and understandably so, low-powered AM radio stations. I mean, after a while, and we had been around for 18 years, if you're around for 18 years and you still haven't gotten to like a, you know, somewhere of note, you know, you're probably, there's a reason for it, you know, and I don't take offense to that.
Do you think it was because of like how non-traditional the show is?
I believe at its absolute core, and I don't necessarily believe it now at this point, I know it. And I guess it worked to my advantage because I knew something that they didn't believe. Mm-hmm. I knew the dollars we were bringing in. Mm-hmm. So I knew the number.
Yeah.
They were skeptical because I guess one of the things, and I've experienced it with a couple of shows in my career, what you'll have is somebody sit down with you and tell you, and I don't know why they would do this because eventually it's gonna, you're going to figure it out, mm-hmm. and tell you how much advertising revenue is tied to their show. And in some cases, if they really want to run the bluff, they will actually list out the clients and how much they spend. Mm. Well, it, eventually, the time will come where that money has to come in if you do business with them.
Yeah.
So we got close to doing business with some of the people who are now at Hubbard, and they were at a company called Emmis. Emmis sold two of their stations to Hubbard in 2018 and two of their stations to what is now Odyssey. It was Entercom. And in, I don't even know what year it was, might have been going back to 2016, I said, yeah, we're doing X number of dollars in revenue. And I think, I don't think, now I know, because the guy who, as it turns out, was the chief skeptic goes, hey, I'm the one who kind of killed that deal. And I told so-and-so to have you send over a P&L. And I'm like, and I had an advisor, because you talk about me as a savvy businessman. I am not. Again, I'm out of necessity. I am more of a survivor than I am a savvy businessman. And I said to my guy, and he's a very, you know, astute guy, CFO, and I go, we're not a publicly traded company. We're not looking to sell our company. You don't just, like, show P&Ls. I don't know what the heck, you know? And he goes, yeah. He goes, these guys aren't serious anyway. I guess I might have saved myself a lot of headaches if I would have sent the P&L over, because they would have seen the dollars were real. Mm. And it was about a year ago, I'm sitting with this guy. He was a great guy. I'm not angry about it at all. He goes, you know, when you were talking about coming over, I'm the one who said, why don't you have them send a P&L over? Because there's just no way they're billing that much. Billing meaning that much advertising revenue on, I don't know where we were. We were at 920 WGNU, you know. And he goes, but as it turns out, pound for pound, and pound for pound meaning your reach, being, you know, HD2 now, AM radio before, you guys have the most powerful show in the market. I'm going, that's a hell of a compliment. I wish you would have felt that way now 8 years ago, because I wouldn't have gone through some of the, we wouldn't have gone through some of the things we went through. Plenty of guys on the show got fired and furloughed, or quote unquote furloughed. Mm-hmm. They weren't really furloughed, they were fired. And it would have saved some headaches. But I also understand that if you're in there on their side of the desk, people come in and tell them how many advertisers they have. Well, it matters, because if you're going to allocate whatever, we'll just say $100,000 just to make the number easy, and you're going, okay, this person's telling me they have $250,000 in advertising. Well, that's a good deal for us. And then you hire them and they have like maybe $15,000. Well, we've got a real problem. And you have corporate bosses who go, the hell did you do? Why'd you hire this They have nothing. They have no following. Nobody really likes the show. And on top of it, we're upside down on the deal. And then they can lose their job for doing it. Mm-hmm. So they have to be careful.
Yeah.
So I knew when the time came to do this deal, and we did it in 2021, that I knew what we had because I knew the accounts and what their spends were. So it wasn't BS. It was real easy. But when we were doing the deal, and this was a key moment, you know, they wanted to hire me individually. And I've always been, you know, and I'm flattered, but still, I know that the success of TMA is not an individual. People may have their favorite person on the show, and they will have their person they hate the most on the show. Both exist.
Yeah.
But I said, hey, they go, well, who do you want to work with here? And I go, oh, no problem. Doug Vaughn, Iggy Strode. Darren Atkins, Jackson Burkett, and Jim Hayes, you know, and they're like, ha-ha, but here in the building. I go, but that's the show. That's the deal. And I was pushing it and pushing. They're like, it's just not going to happen. You've been trying to do this. And I don't know what it was, and I was down in Jupiter, Florida at the Cardinals spring training when this conversation was going on, and for whatever reason, I said, can you take a look at our downloads and see – you can't like BS your way through a third-party system that tracks it. And Jackson Burkett, who's on the show, and he does the 101 ESPN show with me as well, great guy. Can't say enough good things about him. I'm so lucky that he's a part of it. Sends it over in a spreadsheet form to me, which means, theoretically, I could just enter in, we have 2 billion downloads. And I just forwarded that over. Tommy Mattern's the person I was communicating with. He's in charge of programming their operations. And I was in the midst of hosting TMA, and I got an email or a text from him. He goes, hey, man, I got that email. Can you send it over with a screenshot of the downloads as opposed to the spreadsheet? And what that told me, and I could be wrong, I firmly believe, they were like, no way they have this many downloads. Let's make sure they're just not BSing us. And once he saw that, that's when they believed, and that is essentially how the deal got done. Because otherwise, I don't know what I would have wound up doing. I may have stayed at KFNS, may have gone somewhere else. That was critical. But I don't blame them. I don't take offense to that stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to have been on that, because again, I've been on side of that desk. You've got to have proof. You can't take chances that could cost you your job if you screw it up, because unfortunately, plenty of people BS about how many advertisers or followers or downloads they have. And if they don't, then it's your ass on the line for hiring them because the company lost money. So I don't take offense to it. I just wish it would have happened sooner.
Yeah. No, that's, a lot of good insights there, not just about the experience, but just business in general of, like, understanding both sides.
Yeah.
Again, people always look at the side that they want to favor the most and before actually taking a look at the facts and the data and the details. And it's so easy to manipulate that stuff, as you mentioned. One of the things I did want to ask you about, which is kind of like a little bit of a side note, is you have obviously the brand that you've built, the following, and then you have like the fan page. And I know there's been like some crazy stuff on there in the past. How did you manage of like, you have this really loyal following, but then you have some crazy people that are in there? I know there's been some crazy stories.
Oh, the fan page right now, I think, is tepid in comparison. So it's a Facebook page. It's called the TMA fan page. And a listener created their own in like 2015-ish, I believe, if memory serves. Yeah, we were at 920. And I guess he made me an admin. I don't know. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And so when you do this stuff, part of the deal is, and as weird as it is, as counterintuitive as it may be, you want people to dislike you. Now, you don't do things to get them to dislike you, but one of the marks of some semblance of success is that people dislike you, because if you have a following, you can't possibly have everybody like you. There's no way. And if you're really opining and not saying something just to kind of make everybody happy, or if you're saying nothing, then everybody will like you. But if you're saying things that people may not like, inevitably they're going to dislike you, or they don't relate to you, or in my case, so you only got your job because your dad, or you went to St. Louis U High, so you think, you know, whatever dumb thing that it is, you know, whatever, Iggy smokes and, you know, tells stories that he's told before. Oh, you know, so whatever it is, you know, they didn't like Doug's politics when we used to talk about whatever it is. Take your pick. Everybody's got their thing. Jackson's pale and went to Ledoux. You know, everybody's got their thing. And so when this guy asked me to do it, there's plenty of things where there is ripping us. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But he would moderate it. And so there were certain things that would get him more worked up. Whereas I'm just like, it comes with the territory of doing a show, especially a show that has a following, you're going to get hated on. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a process of becoming accepting of that. You can't just experience hatred with your real name for the first time and be cool with it. It's a process of it kind of goes in one ear out the other. I've been getting it for 25 years, so at this point it's kind of like, whatever. Mm. And for the most part, it is mafia rules where people leave your, you know, your wives and kids out of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes they'll go and be aggressive, and we have had that happen, but not necessarily on that Facebook page. But with this guy, it was kind of getting to a point where he was pulling posts, I guess, that was irritating people. And I said, hey, man, how about this? How about I'll give you $1,000 and I'll take over the page. And then, you know, and then that way you don't have to deal with it. And then that way we won't have people complaining about posts disappearing, because I guess he was deleting posts. I don't know, you know. And he you know, he wasn't mean about it. He just rejected it. And I go, okay. And I'm like, well, I mean, then I'll just go create my own page. And that kind of ended it. And so that's what we did. The thing is now, I mean, we could have, I mean, I think it still has the same number of people. I think there's like 7,100 or 200 people, 7,200 people on it. And Jackson Burkett and I are the moderators, but it's like to get into the fan. It's easier to get into St. Louis Country Club than it is to get into the TMA fan page, I think, because you never know if it's like another guy who's been banned like 30 times before, and it's like, I'm going to get him this time, and I've gotten this account. And I guess you can, well, you would know, you can buy accounts that are dormant and then use them, and they're crazy. Your new burner, yeah. And so it becomes like a whole thing. And in reality, you know, when, for example, when I was having those conversations with Hubbard in 2021, as much as the fan page for those who are on it is a big deal, Hubbard never once said, hey, we're interested in you because of the fan page. Yeah. You know, they were interested in me because of the money, yeah, as they should be. Mm-hmm. So the fan page is certainly an active place for passionate listeners of the show. And I enjoy going on there and BSing at times. I also know I'll read awful things or passive-aggressive things about me and the guys on the show. And it just kind of is part of the show. It's a roast, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how I view the show. We roast each other. We get roasted. If you're not comfortable getting roasted, stay out, you know. But if everybody is in the reindeer games, if you enter the arena. If you stay on the sidelines, then you're safe. But if you enter by texting in or calling in, you're free game. That's exactly right, man. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, cool, Tim. This has been a great episode. I really appreciate you coming in. Any last pieces of advice for the person that's listening about either building a brand or about the business stuff that we talked about?
Oh,
today?
Man. God. Compartmentalize emotion. Surround yourself with good people. Distance yourself from bad people. And you know, and I'm not talking about like they're evil, but I'm talking about people who will be a drag. They will poison your business, your show, whatever the case might be. Their downside outweighs their upside. One of the things that I have found, and it's incredibly valuable, is I don't know if mentors is the right term, but I would consider them mentors, people who are kind enough to give you feedback. And I'm not talking about like, here's my experience, listen to me, and therefore they're preaching, but listen to your situation and then give their impressions of what the situation is and advice. Mm-hmm. I've loved it because, again, and I'm not saying this to be self-deprecating, I don't believe I'm anything special business-wise at all, truly. But I have been lucky enough to have some relationships with people who are very sharp. And when I listen to them and see that they see, you know, if they were a quarterback, they see the defense doing something that I can't see. Mm-hmm. And if you get to cultivate those kinds of relationships, they're invaluable. Mistakes I'm certain I made earlier in my career and probably still make now, to have people to bounce things off of, I'm certain I wouldn't have made them. I probably would have done more had I been, you know, in the spot where I had those kinds of relationships. So to people who are entrepreneurs, man, I can't say enough about that. Get a great accountant and a great attorney. And I realize that there are price points that you can afford when you're starting out, and great attorneys or accountants may cost what's beyond the realm of responsibility. All I would say is somebody who responds. Mm-hmm. Even if they can't necessarily get the job done in that day or that the next 48 hours, but they say, hey, I'm sorry, today. I got a lot going on, but I promise you I will get it done by, and at least you get a response. And then also, if you can, find something you love and then have that be the job, because therefore you no longer really have a job. You have something you love. And just by proxy, you're probably going to be good at it because you enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. There's this clip that I occasionally see with Joe Buck interviewing Wayne Gretzky on Joe's show that used to air on the Audience Network. And Joe goes, how many hours a day did you practice? And he goes, man, I've had so many like parents come up to me and ask me that over the years. And he goes, I never really felt like I was practicing just because I love to play. So since I was always playing, I guess I was practicing, but I loved it, so it didn't feel like it was practice. And to tie it into what I do or what you do or what whoever would be listening to this would say, if you love something, then odds are you're not going to feel like, man, I just put in a 70-hour week. You did, like I guess I've done 4 hours of radio today or podcast or whatever the hell it is I'm doing. And I'm like, I could do 10 hours of that.
Yeah.
But if you said, hey, you've got some of your CEO responsibilities today, I go, oh, man, you know, just like an hour of that. But like, oh, you know, like, oh, man, I don't want to mess with that because I just like I can do it. I do it. But I know that there's a million people, like perhaps literally in the St. Louis area, who would be better than me at it.
Sure.
But when it comes to doing the show and the shows in general, I love doing it. And so if there is anything that is a secret in life that you can apply to career, it would be find the thing you love to do. And find somebody to pay you to do it. And if you don't find somebody to pay you to do it, see if you can find a way to pay yourself to do it. Mm. And odds are you're going to be successful. And by successful, I'm not necessarily even talking about your K-1, you know, or your salary. I'm talking about your happiness in life because you're not going to sit there and dread going to work. And I just feel so strongly about that stuff for people. I hope that for my own. I have two boys, and I hope that for my own kids. Mm. I don't care what they make. I care that they enjoy it, and that's the name of the game, because if they enjoy it, you'll be good at it. But there's so many other pieces in the orbit that have to come together, and some of them are kind of basic, and it goes back to treating people how you'd want to be treated and surrounding yourself with good people, and then ideally getting some people in your life who can be advisors and mentors to help you when you kind of come to a fork in the road or you have a significant decision to make. And I think authenticity is also rewarded. Transparency as much as possible, availability, that even if you do experience some semblance of success, you don't blow off emails just because, oh, you can't make me another however much money, you know, you realize that these are the people who helped make it into whatever it is. So it goes back to treating how you want to be treated. So I really do believe in this stuff, and it's helped. And so when, if there's somebody who's, you know, 22, 23 years old, who's listening, email me, and I'd be happy to, you know, pass it along and give. Not like I'm an expert, man, but T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com. Hit me up. Yeah, so I feel strongly about this stuff, and I am super impressed just talking before we got going with what you're doing.
Appreciate that.
What you've done.
I hope I was a good podcast host.
Oh, no, you're a great podcast host, but great job on the business idea that you've come up with, man.
Appreciate that.
So that's I'm always angry that I didn't come up with it. So yeah, I want to fight you when we're done.
Yeah. Well, man, I really appreciate you coming in. I know you're busy, but I got a lot from this episode, so I'm excited to listen to this one back because there's a lot of good stuff. And I obviously see what you guys do and a huge fan, but getting the other side of it is really cool. So where can people stay connected with you online?
The show is on that TMASTL app, which Hubbard built, which is really outstanding to have
it's
an app
awesome.
Specific for the show, man. God,
it's awesome.
That's great. I do the Tim McKernan Show podcast where I just take questions from the audience, and sometimes they're just thoughts, comments, whatever, and I just go on and on and on. And then TMA is on from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. on YouTube on 105.7 HD2 and then on TMASTL.com and, of course, podcasting everywhere. And then I do a show on 101 ESPN from 10 to 11 called Balloon Party. Which is essentially a satirical, even though I don't think many of the people listening to it realize it, it's a satirical. it's essentially mocking Take Smith culture in sports of you got to scream and yell and, you know, everybody is the worst that day or the best that day and everybody needs to be fired that day. And then the next day you go, well, I didn't say that. Our industry sucks.
I love it. Well, yeah, definitely make sure to stay connected with Tim online. Tim, thanks again for coming in, man.
Thank you, Adam.
And make sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're really pushing those reviews here this year. It moves the needle. And remember, authority isn't built overnight. It's built over time. We'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. We sure do appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. This way you'll get notifications as new episodes become available. If you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. We sure do appreciate it. Until next time, friends.